caution is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline. Coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. Yeah. Uh-oh. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
So we missed our dinner last night.
Good to see you, Doc.
Hey, dude.
Hey. Tickle pink. See you back in the studio.
Yeah.
Drew and I were supposed to go out to dinner last night.
Adam effed it up?
No, I did not.
Hmm?
I said...
I'll swing by around 6:30, stay for about 5 minutes.
Be there at 6:30 and have a drink with everybody. Yeah. Raise a glass, and then I have to drive out to Bum F and do something else.
How was that?
But, yeah. It's fine. Dad, don't get me going with stuff.
Really?
No.
It's so good, though.
No. It's all good. It's all good. Woke up at 6:30 this morning, went out to the Pomona Swamp Meet.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
You know where I went?
Where?
I hung out with some of the similar types. Santa Ana Racetrack, 6:30 this morning.
Loser.
What for?
My daughter had a brownie breakfast. To see the horses run, they were rehearsing in the morning, what do they call them, training in the morning.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes.
You are way... See, you set a very dangerous precedent with all of your kids, which is showing up to their stuff, and then you've compounded things by getting them involved with many things.
Right. That's right.
So now you got three kids. They're all doing three times as much as any one kid.
Uh-huh. Each of them three times as much, yeah.
That's, yes. Thank you for the clarity. That is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
And... you are going to disappoint them if and you don't show up at any of the stuff.
That's right.
And if you show up at one of the kids' stuff but not the other kids' stuff, you got to fake your own death.
Good.
Now's the time.
Good time.
Now is the time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. See, you ought to talk to my parents.
Hey, Liz.
I'll straighten you out.
Listen, I had a Little League opening ceremonies at 8 o'clock on Saturday, picture at noon, and then the game at 6:30.
What picture?
The team picture.
Why do you got to be there for the team picture?
I got to get them there.
Have the maid drop them off. You got to get them there. Well, wait a minute.
I cannot wait till you have kids. I cannot wait.
You had the opening ceremony at 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
The team picture was at what time?
12:30.
Aren't the kids there for the opening ceremony?
Yeah, till 9. It was like 8 to 9.
Well, can't they just ride it out?
3.5 hours just hanging out?
They bring their mitts, play some catch. Isn't everyone else hanging out there?
No.
What do? They have an opening ceremony. They send everyone home, and then they tell everyone to come back 3 hours later.
Yeah, and then the games are scheduled all throughout the day.
Well, yeah, the games start after the opening.
Extra bad lot.
Right, yeah, you had an inconvenience. Yeah, but you could still tell. The kids could sit there and watch a game or two, couldn't they, and then take their picture?
Yeah, I'd have to stay there and do that.
Tell the coach or one of the other parents to keep an eye on them. Can't you just drive one of those stakes in the ground and put a chain on the kid? Not around the kid's neck, but around the ankle.
No, around the ankle. No, neck would be fine. With a little choke chains, would be great.
Well, I'm saying you put a bucket of water out, because it can get hot. Uh-huh. Put the thing around their ankle so they can throw the ball around and stuff without, you know, choking themselves. You drive that thing into the lawn.
They'll play a great game Saturday night. Yeah. Seriously.
Oh, boy. Well, as long as you're enjoying it.
Seriously.
But Jesus.
They're counting on their treehouse.
Oh, then the kids. Then Paulina with the ice capades. You're so screwed. You're so screwed. You're getting up. Oh, could you imagine getting up at the crack of dawn and
going
everywhere with the kids?
Don't you have sympathy for your parents now? Do you understand why they didn't do any of your stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not interested.
Yeah.
All right. See, they weren't posers like you. They didn't show up and pretend to be interested when they didn't want to show up. See what I mean? You're being dishonest to your kids, Drew. That's very dangerous. I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them you don't want to go anywhere. Chad?
Yes?
Your dad only wants to go to a place called a whorehouse. He doesn't want to go to Santa Anita or the ice skating rink or the opening day for the Little League. None of that.
For our affiliates from the county, Santa Anita is a huge racetrack here in Southern California.
Yeah.
Horse racing.
Yeah. Chad?
Very wholesome place to bring little girls at 8 o'clock in the morning, by the way.
Yeah.
No, it was nice. It was very beautiful.
Bunch of pedophiles with racing forms hanging out of their back pocket and cigars stuffed into their cheeks.
When I step over, I always forget it's like stepping into a parallel universe. Isn't it? There's a whole bunch of people out there studying the horses.
Why there? Can't they get no IHOP in town they could go to?
It was really very nice.
Oh, please. Chad?
Yes?
All right, 17. What's up?
Well, I guess there's like, my girlfriend has a group of these free friends, and one of them is bisexual, and I guess it turns out that he actually likes me. And I'm just kind of, I don't really have a problem with it until, like, I guess I've already had an incident with this before, and it's like, I don't really have a problem with it until they start coming on to me.
What happened in the previous incident?
I got at work.
Reach around.
What happened?
Huh?
What happened?
Well, I mean, he just kind of openly told me, like, you know, I'm really attracted to you, and I like to get with you, and I'm just like, whoa, you know.
That you're gay. And right. So why is that he didn't actually violate your physical space? He didn't attack you? Why is that so disturbing to you?
Well, Drew, that's harassment on the at the workplace.
Well, no, he didn't. He just said, I'm interested.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm just totally not with it. And
yeah, that's right. Fine. So there you go. What if...
Well, you're fine. You're a guy. What's the problem?
Well, I mean...
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's all right.
It's your girlfriend's friend.
He's not going to do anything.
Well, I mean, I'm just like, should I actually approach him about it and just say, look, I mean...
No.
Oh, by the way, your girlfriend is, I would think women...
You told him no, right?
He doesn't know that I know.
Yeah, but yeah, I would think his girlfriend would get all pissed off at him if he reacted too strong. You know how women get funny about that sometimes?
Yeah.
I'm going to kick his ass. You are so insensitive. You didn't do... You remember what I'm saying?
Yes.
She's going to be very unhappy with you if you get too aggressive about this.
Well, why don't you tell...
I was just going to talk to him. I wasn't really going to get aggressive.
Tell her to tell him that
Obviously you are. It's her friend we're talking about. She was probably sitting around having girl talk with him, you know, and saying, hey, I think he's cute. Fine.
What other kind of talk could they have?
All
right. Oh, Chad. Chad, don't worry about it. What is it with guys with this stuff? You just move on. Do you just, unless you think the guy's, you know, physically going to hold you down and rape you like some prison movie.
Right.
If he's just girlfriend's just some fag hag and he's just hanging out, well, who cares?
Right.
But I understand not wanting to be cornered. I don't think he's going to do it.
I think he doth protest too much.
Yeah. There's two things I worry about with guys who protest too much about this. One is secretly they have some intrigue about it.
Sure, on some level.
Or, number two, it's just a weird sort of retarded flattery for them to announce. I got a lot of dudes who think I'm hot. And they come up to me, and they want to have, you know, they want to do things to me. And then I always feel ugly when I go, geez, no guy's ever wanted to F me in the A. Oh, really? Guys come up to me all the time. Oh. I guess they see I'm very secure with my... No, I think it's the hair on your ass. Really?
You. Think, yeah, it's the overall hair thing.
You think I should start waxing? I don't know. Wouldn't hurt. Next thing you know, I want to make myself more presentable for the gays now.
Well, that's your ultimate goal, isn't it?
I've never had a gay guy come on to me.
I know, but you're looking for that, aren't you?
I'm looking to turn gay.
I know that.
Garrett?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I actually have two questions. I only told the color guy about one. All right, the first thing is, what kind of beer do you guys drink on the man show?
It's Sam Adams.
Oh.
That's what we drink.
Oh. Yeah, and the other one, I was watching the man show tonight. It was on at 9:30. And I was wondering if there really is a stroke or ace.
Oh, the dildo?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
No, we just... We made that up. It's a little prop.
Oh, all right.
But thanks for watching there, Garrett.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Good night.
Hi.
Yeah, good time.
Yeah.
Good time.
Adam was going to keep Garrett on for quite some time. You're just sitting back. Garrett, anything else you want to know about the man show?
I thought he was getting to his question.
That was the question.
Oh, well, you know how people ask some stupid question about the man show and then they ask their sex question?
Yes, yes.
And I don't read the screen.
Of course.
So I just figured he was... And when he said I had two questions...
Yes, of course. Forgive me.
Those couldn't have been the two.
You might have seen the screen you were staring at, by the way, at the time.
This underage guy wants to know what beer you drink on the man show. Yeah, that's right. That's what he wanted. Also, I was surprised
that Adam, now Jimmy, would you read the next line, please?
I was surprised that you picked a call that had to do with the man show. Tracy?
Hi.
Hey, you're 27.
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been doing... heroin for quite a while, and I quit about a year ago, but then I relapsed about 5 months ago, and I can't seem to stop, and I was wondering...
Good times.
If I quit, how long it's going to take for me to get my brain back together, because I have to have my thesis done by June.
Is there any way you can take a couple months off or two or three months medical leave and just... It's going to take at least 3 months, I'd say.
No, I already did that.
Yeah, and you know, you've done this. You know how long it took last time. Were you completely clean?
Yeah, for 5 months.
Yeah.
I still couldn't think. I had, like, short attention span theater going on.
Huh. Were you anxious or depressed or something else going on?
I think I was kind of depressed.
Were you in the program?
Yeah.
And were you
in
sober?
I was in halfway house.
You were sober living.
What's your thesis on?
Emotional development of children.
Oh. Well, why don't you shift it to, like, being a junkie or something?
I wish I could.
Yeah, you can't do that?
No.
Psychology?
Yeah.
What do you want? Now, thesis, does that mean you're going to get your master's or doctorate?
Yeah, my master's.
All right. Then what are you going to do?
What's your basic back? Are you attachment theorist or?
No, it's just, it's a lot of Sarney and, No, it's more like whether children decide to show or hide their emotion depending on the situation.
I see.
Like, yeah, that sounds fascinating. you can't finish that high?
No.
Really? Okay, how about paying someone to finish it for you?
Well, how about you take a medical leave? I don't understand why you can't do that.
She already took one.
Yeah, I already took one, well, and I would have to be straight with everyone, and I know that most of my professors believe in the reinforcement theory of addiction, not the disease model.
And it is a reinforcement disorder.
So what?
It's a disease also, and it has to be treated.
They punish
and
her?
It's not up to them. They're not taking care of you.
I understand that, but they're the people that are grading my paper.
Yeah, I understand that, but you listen. First of all, you have a right to confidential medical care. If you don't want to tell them, it's up to you. If your physician puts you out on medical leave, it's none of their goddamn business for what or for how long.
You go, girl.
And if you were going to be a clinician, you are going to have to come clean about this, and you're going to have to be in a diversion program. You're going to have to.
Wow. All right, Tracy, there you go there, baby.
Thank you.
But it's going to take, I would predict 3 months, you'd be thinking pretty clearly.
Heroin?
Yeah, heroin doesn't affect your thinking. Unless she was she doing anything else, just real quick?
People do some of their best work on heroin,
Tracy,
don't they?
Tracy, were you doing anything else besides heroin?
Crack.
No speed?
No.
You never done any speed?
No.
How about ecstasy?
No.
And how much crack are you doing?
I don't know, a couple times a week.
Right now you're doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And were you doing that before your last sobriety?
Yeah.
Aren't you only high for a couple minutes when you smoke the crack?
Yeah, but I like the intense high, but it's like, but you still feel like you've done a line of cocaine for the rest of the night, you know?
Really, for the rest of the night?
So, you know, you're still a little wired.
Gotta get into this. How much for a gram of coke these days?
I don't know.
Okay.
I deal in dime bags, so I'm
right. No, that's fine. She's got a master's degree. She's a junkie. She's smoking crack. I want to know how much for a gram of coke. Hey, Drew, you know what the answer is?
Don't know.
Thank you.
Hey, you got to get back. You got to get back.
Never an answer on this show. Not even from educated crack addicts can I find out how much a gram of coke goes for.
You're thinking,
what the hell is that?
From the heroin should clear up in about 3 months.
People just don't want to.
You could still be having some anxiety, depression, and that should be separately treated if that's happening.
No, please. I can't wait to. Someone asked me some carpentry questions. How much is a 2x4? Don't know. Plywood? Don't know. Half inch? Don't know. MDF? Somewhere between, like, I don't know and don't know. Don't know. Does no one know anything about what they do ever? Ever? Or do they just not want to say it? See, for me, when I don't know something that I'm supposed to know, I feel bad.
I
backpedal a little bit and I try to squirm around. Well, it depends where you go. If you go to a place like Terry Lumber, it's going to run a little more. If you place like Home Depot, but somewhere in the $20 to $40 range, I'll spit something out to say I did it.
Well, just give your sense of it because you're around it.
Now, smoke crack, don't know.
But part of the reason you're zeroing in on people's area of shame. And as such, they immediately go in hiding. You wouldn't ask the question if it weren't uncomfortable for the people.
No,
you're like, hey.
I ask people who are working all the time. Like, hey, why is it you got to do this, or why do they have those? Don't know. I've now just decided if I don't know it, nobody knows.
All right, from now on, you ask, and let's evaluate what why they're going into hiding, why they wouldn't want to answer it. You know what I'm saying? Think when you want to ask it, let's think right. about it before you actually ask it.
I think they don't know. Kevin?
I think a lot of it they don't want to tell you. They just don't want to get into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but I'm not talking all junkies. I'm talking to people who I have questions about their work, for instance, and they're, you know, they're not doing gay porn. They just work at a convenience store. I have a question. Kevin?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yep.
What's up?
I just quit smoking about a month ago. I've been smoking for about a year and a half, and I heard that your lungs can heal from the effects of smoking after you quit. I was wondering if there's anything else I could do, like exercise.
Yes, you can do a regular aerobic exercise.
Is that good for your lungs?
Good for your lungs. You actually build new lung tissue that way. However, your cancer risk, your heart disease risk, is basically a cumulative phenomenon, but particularly your cancer risk.
Okay.
So that doesn't go away. So however many years you smoke, that's your cancer risk. And even if you don't smoke for 20 years, you smoke 30-pack years, you got a 30-pack year risk, which is pretty high.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Oh, what was that last part?
In other words, let's say you smoked 6-pack a day for 5 years.
Right.
For the sake of
doing it. Right. 6 and 5 is 30.
30. And then you didn't smoke anything for 25 years.
Right.
The rest of your life, your risk of lung cancer would be the same as any 30-pack year smoker.
Right.
So 25 years out, you suddenly get lung cancer. Like, well, I stopped 25 years ago. Well, you had 30-pack years under your belt. You get lung cancer.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't, but why? You said if you exercise, your lung actually creates new tissue.
Yes, you get new lung, new function, but not change in cancer risk.
Hmm.
Although that's actually a controversial thing, but my reading of the literature over the years has suggested to me that's the case.
You got to figure, though, you'd rather have a patient who quit 30 years ago than didn't smoke that 30 years and then smoke the 30 years leading right up into the cancer, wouldn't you?
You would think.
Just getting in there.
You would think.
Yeah. Now, for heart stuff, it works, right?
Yeah, heart you can
so
reverse.
So a lot of people have heart attacks, and their doctor tell them they have to quit smoking.
Yeah, things don't progress, and we do stuff to open things back up. And
yeah. My grandpa had a massive heart attack when he was, 68, 69. Doctor told him to quit smoking. He lived another, 30 years.
Guess what? Wasn't a massive heart attack.
Oh, well, it was a bad enough heart attack to put him in the hospital for a week or whatever hell it was. I don't know what massive is. What is massive?
Massive means you have massive muscle damage.
Oh,
to
you
the heart.
Damage.
Yeah.
No, I
and
think
then
just,
you get problems after that always.
No, he didn't. He just had one that was good enough to rush him to the hospital and all that. Hook him up to a few things and then that was it. Eddie?
Hello?
You're 20. What's up?
My dad is taking this stuff called HGH, human growth hormone.
Yeah, why is he doing that?
I don't know. He heard it on the radio or something like that, and he took it, and it helped his eyes.
What?
Yeah, he had 200 vision, and now he has 100. So I was wondering, what's the deal if I take it?
Well, you're already, you don't need it.
Oh, no, I got bad eyes.
He's being followed by a doctor for this?
Oh, no, he was listening to the radio, and they told him about it, and he just...
That's crazy. I don't know anything about that, but I will tell you, I certainly know about human growth hormone, and it will close your growth plates so you won't grow as tall as you might. It will create thickening of the bones in certain parts of your face, and you get entrapment of the nerves that innervate your face. You can get paralysis in your face.
You can look like a Neanderthal.
Yeah, you can look like a Neanderthal, basically. Yeah, basically
or Neanderthal, as they call it now, you idiots.
Where the skeletal regions might hypertrophy.
That's right. That happened to Demi Moore when she was in the... Cannes Film Festival.
Depends on what nomenclature you're using.
Yeah. All right.
So
nobody knows what we're talking about, Drew. But I'm just saying, every 20 years or so, the eggheads change the pronunciation. I think there was a grant from the Carnegie Corporation that did this. They changed the names of stuff so we don't feel smart anymore. Neanderthals now Neanderthal. Carnegie is Carnegie.
Is it true? The Carnegie changed the name?
Yes, it's still Carnegie Hall, but if you watch UPS or whatever, not UPS, what the hell, PBS, it'll say, made possible by a grant from the Carnegie Corporation.
Oh, my God.
Yes, lovey. Just stop it, all you eggheads.
Thurston.
Lovey. Well, I mean, look, we know you're smart. Is it okay for us to be able to pronounce some of the words you eggheads get to pronounce, or is that unfair?
I really think it's because each generation of eggheads, and I include, you know, my peers amongst this, have to separate themselves from the preceding generation. You know what I mean? So we're going to use cool language that sort of separates us.
I just don't think they like guys who went to North Hollywood High pronouncing Neanderthal and Carnegie the way they do. So they swap it around.
There's that.
So don't take the growth hormone, Eddie.
Please.
Tell your dad to consult a doctor.
Yeah, it also can change your blood sugar metabolism. Big mess. Big mess.
All right.
No problem.
Samantha?
Yeah.
Your basement smells funny?
Yeah.
You got a douche, baby. No?
Well, I don't think it's going to be that easy. See, my little sister moved in.
Ooh.
And I got to make
down there?
Space for her because she is getting in my way a little bit too much.
Yeah.
So, I was wondering if you guys knew how to get rid of that really funky, like, earth smell. Because when I go down there, I feel like I'm in, like, you know...
The mold smell?
Or something.
The moldy smell or the wet smell or
it's
what?
It's kind of wet and moldy.
Dang. Yeah, it's mold, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad times.
Yeah, so...
All right,
what
Adam, what are you going to do? Hey, I don't know. Hey, Adam.
Know.
Come on now.
No,
Mr. Contractor, let's go.
He's,
of course he should be able to handle this. And
yeah.
There's particularly rags at everyone else for not knowing whatever their particular...
All right, jackass. Maybe I will do something. Well, here's the deal. Let me just say this, too. Like, first couch it this way. I come from the West Coast. I don't deal with basements. I never dealt with basements. We don't have any out here.
I'm on the West Coast.
Southern California, Southwest.
Southern California. There's no basements out here. But and if there is, they're strictly for killing hookers. They're not for cousins to move in or anything like that. But, you know, what you need, I mean, you got moisture going on out there. You got all that rain up in Oregon, and it's bleeding through those formed walls of your basement, okay?
What do you do?
Well,
I sealed all of the holes as well as I can.
Yeah, but
now
you're going to have to get some kind of like vapor barrier or something going along those concrete walls.
On the outside?
You can't dig on the outside because the outside is the underside of the house.
I mean, you can't just dig down the side of the house.
Well, you'd have to go under the house and dig.
Yes.
I mean, on certain parts of the basement.
Because
the basement could be in the footprint of the house somewhere.
Right.
Okay, so anyway, you could do like a... You don't have any money, you don't have any time, and you're stupid, right?
Oh, no.
Who cares?
No, I got my taxes are coming, and I can afford this. I want to do it right, because I don't want my sister to get down there and, you know...
All right, listen, you know what? They have...
Black mold syndrome.
They have waterproof... Shut up.
Chronic fatigue from the black mold syndrome.
Believe me, she's got chronic fatigue if she's moving into her sister's house already. Did they have paint that's made for, water... Stop water. It's cheap. You just go paint it on the concrete down there.
All right. Yeah, we're going to put up a bunch of drywall.
You are? Well, if you're going to put up a bunch of drywall, then do some kind of vapor barrier.
Mm-hmm.
Let's heal some babies! All right, so you ready? Here's what you do. You got to put like a vapor barrier, like a plastic or a rubber wrap on the concrete wall, right?
All right, I'm writing this down.
Then you take some like 2x4s or 1x3 sleepers and you shoot them with one of those powder-actuated pin-driving guns. Pow, pow, pow.
Into the concrete?
Right into the concrete. Then you hang the drywall on those sleepers, on those runners. You can't hang the drywall right on the slab. Right on the formed wall. You got that?
Got it.
You're going to screw this up. Are you lesbian at all?
No.
This is going to be a disaster.
No, I got some guys helping me out, but, you know, they're a bunch of boneheads. So
I know they are. Listen. Here is the deal. Just listen, and then I'm going to hang up.
Okay.
You have...
By the way.
You have... Quiet down. You have water vapor that comes through that porous concrete wall that is poured under there. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You must stop that, because it will come through the drywall, too. You must stop it with a vapor barrier. All right. There we go. Go talk to one of the guys at the local hardware store.
Good times.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a love line. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew.
What'd you
over
do
there
this weekend?
I went, nothing. Went to the Pomona swap meet
right
today.
Yeah.
Oh, and I hung out with my peeps. You know, you ought to get out there, Drew, and slum it a little bit.
Well, I got the Rose Bowl swap meet going on by me.
No. Let me tell you something.
Hey, nothing?
That is the difference between L.A. Valley College and Cambridge.
Oof.
Do you understand?
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, it's a huge...
Okay.
These, picture this, and picture a dude, they all have that, what's it called, distended
panis,
belly?
The panis?
The belly, what's it called when the male belly sticks out? They call it distended?
Protuberant
what's
belly.
It called? It's got to be called distended.
All right,
is it?
Protuberant is what we call it.
Protuberant?
Protuberant, yeah.
Look up distended.
Distended means bloated.
Okay, well, that's fine then, you idiot.
Well, you were asking for the official name. I understand what you're talking about.
No, I want to know if that's the right term for the belly that's bloated. Fine, distended, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Jesus. Okay. Where were we?
So imagine this guy.
Huh? Right?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, flies buzzing around, gut hanging out of the shirt. Sitting there with, set up with cranks, engine cranks, you know. 454 big block Chevy cranks, you know, and then just junk and heavy junk. You know what an engine crank weighs on a big block
V8? I have no idea.
It's got to be 110 pounds.
Wow.
Easily. I mean, it's laid out of a solid billet of case hardened steel. I mean, the crank on a V8 big block is just a huge chunk of metal. A few of those lying around, a few hubcaps lying around, and then just crazy parts. Crazy parts like, you know, leaf springs from a 55 F-150 step-side pickup truck, you know, rusted and lying around, a steering box from a 62 Fairlane. Just junk everywhere. And then old guys walking around with cardboard signs taped to their sweatshirt, what they're looking for. Because what it is they get these old crappy cars. And they'll do anything but buy a new part for them. They're looking for the junked part, but they need a steering column. They need a steering box. They need a master cylinder. They need some crazy drum or some slave cylinder or some crazy, crazy part that they don't want to buy new. So you get a piece of paper and you write all the stuff you need on it, and then you just mill about aimlessly wandering around the Pomona Fairground.
Wow. What'd your sign say?
Mine said, I need a new life. I need a new partner. That's not going to bother me with the distended discussion. Oh, yeah. Bunch of guys sitting around and guys just hawking waxes and, you know, cup holders. But it's packed. The whitest trash you've ever seen in your life. It's good times. You get there like 7 in the morning. You have a beer. You start walking around. These guys drag these wagons everywhere because, you know, if you get...
The cars are so heavy.
You buy, like, a set of heads to a 302, it's 200 pounds. You got to throw it. You can't drag it. You got to throw it in the wagon. And then they take the wagon and they soup them up. They put, like, slicks on them and side pipes. And they try to make the wagon they're dragging around look like a hot rod. And that's a whole cottage industry over there, your souped-up wagon.
That's so funny.
Then other guys have, like, wagons that have wagons attached to them. It's like a wagon train. The trailers and their chrome wheels with the raised white letters and big racing slicks on these radio flyer wagons they drag everywhere. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
And I'm right in the middle of all of it.
Mike, 22.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey.
Yeah, my fiance, I got her pregnant about 3 months ago. I haven't been getting laid since then. Is there anything I can do to, you know, provoke getting laid? You know what I mean?
Provoke getting laid.
You know, like...
Maybe not refer to it quite so crassly. Maybe she responded a little better. But why the drop-off all of a sudden?
She says, you know, her sex drive is dropped off or whatever.
All right. That can happen. Is she sick a lot of the time?
Yeah, she always has headaches. She's throwing up all the time.
All right. Well, have a little compassion. This is your future mother of your children, for crying out loud, Mike. And believe me, God will have even a greater joke to play on you around her third trimester.
Why?
That's when their sex drive is dropped.
She gets horny?
Yeah.
All right,
cool.
Yeah. I got that huge distended belly.
But also, I don't know, there's a little strain on relationships. She's always, you know, screaming at me for no reason, and I don't know, it's kind of hard.
Well, maybe you're not being a support. Listen, women, when they're pregnant, feel very vulnerable. This is when they really need your support.
Okay.
And
I try, you know.
Well, are you going to get married?
Yes.
Why don't you just go ahead and do that?
Yeah, you might as well.
Yeah.
And were you planning on killing yourself, or you might just want to go ahead and do that?
You can keep smoking pot, don't worry.
Listen, women are a mess anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. And then when they're on their period, it's like super mess. And when they're pregnant, it must be like super colossal mess. it must be a mess of, you know, biblical proportions.
Some women feel happy and satisfied all the time. Others feel uncomfortable and miserable. It depends on.
Oh man, I am so glad I didn't know your wife during that pregnancy.
She was fine.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And what happened? It screwed her brain up or something?
No, she handled it way better than you and I would have. I mean, imagine being in bed for 3 months.
No, don't do this, Drew. Don't do that.
No, I couldn't handle
it. Yeah, you say that, but you would have. And let me tell you, I've said this before. If guys got pregnant, we would have this thing down to probably about 4 months. Because it's been 9 months for, what, how long now?
At least a few years.
Beginning of time?
Yeah.
Since the 60s?
Yes.
Well, your mom carried you how long?
12 months.
Oh, so they're whittling it down?
Yeah.
No, this 9 month thing, a guy like yourself, you give the kids about 4.5 months.
Yeah.
You'd figure out. Guys would do this. Guys would figure this out. And look, I wouldn't mind being in bed.
Huh?
Now with your
3 months?
Protuberant bellies.
Yeah.
Imagine what.
3 months in bed.
She was so sick, too. I mean, it got so bad. Her biliary tree was getting compressed.
Lie there and eat. I just eat and smoke weed and drink and take pills and watch my TiVo. And John?
Hi.
Come up with crazy names for the kids. La Crappa and stuff like that. Yeah, you're 18.
Yeah, I made up my question, actually.
Anderson can't stand that.
Yeah, but it's not Anderson's choice, so put him back on. And don't do that unless he cusses Anderson.
We talked, we're going to do that.
I know, but I'm talking now, and I'm curious what his question is, so it's fine.
John?
Hi.
You're slipping through so far, so go ahead. What's the deal?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Basically, I don't know how to meet people. Like, I just suck at it. And I work myself up, and I can't. I'm no good in social situations.
Boring.
What do you do? Are you going to school?
Yeah, I'm in a community college.
No. So
there you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, dull and stupid. And
thank you.
Yeah. Well, you sound smart enough. Are you a virgin?
Oh, yeah. All definitely.
Right. Living at home?
Yeah. But, I'm going to the Palm in a few years, so.
No, maybe with a true social phobia. Have you ever considered being evaluated for that?
I went to a shrink for a while.
Yeah.
And, he had me on Zoloft.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Did that help?
Well, it worked me up. Like I was crazy on it. Like I was real wired all the time. It seemed.
All right. There's a medicine called Paxil that's sort of specific for social phobias. But be that as it may, what we always advise is that you go ahead and find something you're interested in. Take care of your own ass. Do things you excel at. You'll end up meeting people who share interests with yours, and you get a better sense of yourself.
Said he was going to the Palm in 2 years. What does that mean?
DePaul.
DePaul.
University.
Oh, I thought you said the Palm. All right, you're going to DePaul.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Well, why didn't you get in the first time?
High school is 4 years, but I don't know. I was just totally depressed the whole time, you know?
All right.
And I was just, sitting around all the time doing nothing.
All right, now you got to focus there, buddy.
That's the story of everyone's life, though.
All right, John, don't think about it too much. You have male friends?
I used to. Not anymore.
All right. There's the place to start with the guys.
That and this transition into college is sort of sometimes a very tricky time for people. And if you're not negotiating that effectively, that is a time for mental health treatment. Yeah. It really is.
Well, maybe, is it safe to say that some people really take to it like a fish to water, and then others really flail?
And even the ones, though, that flail sometimes get through. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but usually with a higher GPA.
No, when they're not making it, when they really are not forming friends, not getting a life, not sort of getting on with things, not forming new relationships, that's time to look into it.
You know what I like about those people, though? They always blame the people that are doing well. What is that? You're an idiot. No one likes you. You're unattractive. Females aren't attracted to you. Guys don't like you because you give them the creeps. So you look around and you go, it's the... Those guys on the football team, it's their fault. Really? Is that? You really think that's it?
Or do they even know that you're around?
I'm going with no.
Yeah.
They're so busy drinking, playing football, and getting laid. There wouldn't even be. It's sort of like when you see a plane fly over your house and blame something on that plane. I don't think the folks in the plane really even know who's in the house or whose roof it is. I'm not sure if they know what street or block they're flying over. I'd say that's the whole thing about being popular. The whole thing is not knowing about you guys that aren't so popular. That's what makes you popular, right?
In reality, isn't that just about the way everyone's going through life?
Yeah.
That's what the people who are blaming other people need to realize.
Yeah.
That they should themselves continue going through life like the plane.
Well.
And that people care about their own stuff way more than anything else.
Yeah. It would help you get out of whatever crap hole you're in if you did a little less finger pointing and got to work. All right. I know we got to take a break, but I want to say hi to, Sherald.
Sherald?
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 That's you.
Is there a D in your name?
No, it's S-H-E-R-Y-L.
Sherald.
Yeah.
Sherald. All right.
All right, Damien. With the D at the end.
All right, go.
He's an idiot.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm 26 now. And I've been dating my current boyfriend for a little over 6 months. From the time I was 17, until I was 20, I was a prostitute. And I'm wondering if I should tell him or any successive boyfriends.
All right.
Wait till he's going down on you.
No, hold on. Hold this thought. We got to take a quick break here.
Hang on there, Sherald. Don't worry. We have some good answers. I've many. This exact same thing happened to me like 8 times. Absolutely. So hold on. All right?
Okay.
All right. Well, hope he doesn't have a radio, because I'm going to have to change my advice if he does. We'll be right back with Prostitute Cheryl after this. Hey. Love Line. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Let's get back to Cheryl since we spent that break preparing our answer to her question.
Ooh. We talk about nothing during the break.
But we talk.
Oh, boy, do we talk. Hey, can we stretch these commercial breaks out another minute and a half or something? Because
I want somebody to drop a microphone into this room during those breaks.
No, don't tell Anderson that. No, record it and then play it on the
air. I have.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you can't record any of this, Anderson. It's very delicate.
Stop it.
Very delicate.
Don't do it.
Very delicate.
Yeah. Yeah, we get it.
Yeah, right.
Get us some coffee.
That's us.
Give the kids. Yeah,
that's us
it.
Making fun of.
Got it.
That's Damien. Heavy on the cream next time, huh?
Oh no.
That was Damien trying to get a job with the man show and telling a joke or something. Yeah. I can't remember the specifics, but it was funny. Cheryl.
Yeah.
Hey, Damien. By the way, now as long as we're dog piling. New policy, if someone is named Cheryl and you spell it S-H-E-R-A-L-D.
Notice where they're listening to you real carefully?
Yeah.
They're pointing at the television and laughing hysterically.
I understand. I'm just saying, if she then corrects it and her name is Cheryl, do it in the screen, too, would you please?
He's an idiot.
I'm going to end up calling a Cheryl again. That's what I'm saying.
All right
there. Now, you were a prostitute from age 17 to age 20.
Yeah.
Right.
How did that happen? Were you left a home, abusive home and needed to just get by on the streets?
I'm sorry?
Did you leave an abusive home environment and then just needed to get by on the streets?
No, actually, I left a great home environment and got with a very abusive man.
What?
I my home environment was fine. I began dating a very abusive, manipulative man when I was about, I guess I was almost 16.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How old was he?
He was, I think he was 19.
All right. And he got you into prostitution?
Under extreme duress, yeah.
Like what? Like a prisoner?
I should blame him partially, but I was young, and after about a year and a half of physical violence and emotional abuse, I basically did whatever I was told to do, and when the prostitution thing came up, and I refused, he basically threatened my life as well as my family's.
Wow.
Well, your parents, your dad lived at home with you?
No.
Starting to... Hold on a second. Everything was great at home?
Yeah, perfect. Loving, beautiful.
Everything was great, right?
Perfect.
Yeah. Where was Dad?
Where's my bourbon?
Where's my... Where was Dad?
He was in California, another part of California.
You know what we're asking.
He was, I mean, we're not really close, but we're, I mean, I saw him every summer from the time I was, my parents divorced when I was two, and I spent every summer with him until I was about 13.
And why did they divorce?
My dad was an alcoholic at the time.
No, right. There you go.
Come on.
And now we're getting somewhere.
Was he, and he was an abusive alcoholic to your mom?
No.
No.
All right, but listen, we went from everything at home was perfect to,
where's my bourbon?
Alcoholic dad who took off when you were two.
Well, no, my mother left, and he quit drinking soon after that and tried to get her back, and she didn't go, which is a good thing.
Why is that a good thing?
Well, my dad's not a very happy person.
I thought you said he was.
I thought everything was great at home.
Everything was great with my mom. I mean, I'm just...
Yeah, I thought you said dad wasn't abusive.
He wasn't. He came from an he was abused.
Right. And he had a perfectly mutual relationship with your mom? No.
Okay. Well, listen. Look, I don't want to... Actually, I don't care. But the point isn't to make you into a liar or uncover a bunch of, you know, pull up a bunch of skeletons from your closet. But the point is it doesn't make sense that somebody got hooked up with an abusive guy and then got forced into prostitution when everything was great at home. It goes against all the things that we've learned on this show and that we know about life. So when you come out and say that, then we have to sort of dispel that. And now that we have, we can move on.
Okay.
So let's get to the present. And by the way, you need a ton of therapy, and there's still a whole bunch of denial going on here about dad and booze and abuse.
Right,
and
your feelings of your band.
My dad had never drank since I was old enough to remember.
Yes, but he was still an abandoning figure in your life. And,
That got you hooked up with the a-hole. So prostitution. All right, now you're in a relationship. It's getting serious.
Yes.
And you've been with this guy for how long?
A little over 6 months, but we've known each other for about... 3.5 years.
Yeah, have you told prior boyfriends about this?
No.
Good. I wouldn't bother.
I wonder if she should...
What?
At least tell him that, you know, listen, at least point out that she was in a terribly abusive relationship.
Well, he knows that.
All right.
That's enough.
Yeah, the details of the abuse, you know, I'm not so sure that he needs to know all that. It was just horribly, horribly abusive. And this is really like captivity. This is like...
Are you able to function in this relationship?
Yes.
I mean, like, when he, let's say, scratches the back of his neck, do you flinch and start crying?
No.
When he tells you I love you, are you able to accept that?
Yes.
What about when he takes a swing at you with a pool cue? Do you duck?
He does not. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
That feels
Look,
right.
This is for you and your therapist.
I know he really loves me then.
Yeah. All right. Do you have a therapist?
He cares so much. He gets so upset.
All right, Drew, I'm not listening to you because you're being sassy tonight. Look, this is, you and your therapist discuss this. Don't burden him with this thing. It weirds guys out. He knows you're in a tough relationship, and I'm sure he assumes there's a certain amount of this sort of stuff that went on. But he loves you, and don't sabotage it.
Okay.
Have you had HIV and hepatitis screens?
Well, for the latter part of my years doing that, I was actually in Nevada, so... That was done every week.
All right. Right. You worked at one of those ranches?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. And don't get married in Vegas.
Don't worry.
Yeah, so all you need is a couple ex-Johns heading down the street. Hey!
Wow.
Sweet deal, buddy.
You're
breaking yourself off a piece. I got
like
some, too.
A
stinking whore.
I wondered if it even happened in this country. It was like a white slave. You know?
You know, Drew...
Yeah, but victims are prone to mind control stuff. You know what I'm saying?
I'm saying it's like saying there was no... When somebody who was in Cheryl's situation says there was, you know, I had to do what he was wanted. There was no chance for escape.
Right.
I bet this guy went out to the liquor store all the time and came back, and she sat there.
Well, of course. He probably wasn't around for months.
Well, I know that's what I'm saying.
But threatened the family.
You're picturing the Hanoi Hilton.
No, I'm not.
Bamboo tiger trap and him, like, whipping her and, torturing her with water. She was freaked out because she was emotionally freaked out.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. I'll take a little break when we get back.
Not quite sure what this is, but it sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. Some prediction I made.
Hey, Jennifer?
Uh-huh.
Drew made a prediction that he was right about?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Hold on. We're going to talk to you tomorrow night. No. We'll get back with that after this. The Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Hey, Anderson. You know that the PSA where they're playing basketball and they want to go to the party? I heard that a couple breaks ago. It's one of the newer public service announcements. I just really enjoy that. And not everyone gets to hear it.
Take me a minute. Hold on.
All right.
Just going to get us that opening volley.
We'll take a call. Jennifer?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Uh-huh.
Drew's prediction was right?
Yeah. I called about a year ago and told him about my, I'm a recovering cocaine addict. And he predicted that my alcoholism would just skyrocket. Mm. And he was completely right.
So the interesting thing about addiction, it is mathematically predictable. I mean, it is just, it never disappoints. It's one of the unusual illnesses that way.
Yeah. Well, eventually realized I had a problem when I started the blacking out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was, my husband and I have been married for about a year, and his family, was a family kind of drinkers. They like to pound a few beers, and I was just wondering how I deal with that in getting to a recovery program with a family that still drinks.
You're going to have to figure that out, but for your first and foremost act is to get to a meeting, find a sponsor, and work those steps.
Yeah.
As you get through the steps, you'll get some clarity on what you can and can't tolerate around that family. And at some point, you may have to, A, ask the family to keep the home a safe environment, which is a reasonable thing for you to request. You have a life-threatening condition.
No booze in there?
In the home. In the home. And secondly...
But you could have, like, a cooler buried out in the yard and just sit there and have beer all night.
But somebody could.
Oh, Jesus.
And secondly,
can't do that anymore.
You may need your husband at least to go to an Al-Anon meeting, because as you grow in the program, you're going to be less able to tolerate some of his BS.
Now, you can drink at those meetings, can't you?
No, sorry. Smoke pot.
I don't want to...
Well, I mean, it's...
Life like that, though.
Like what?
Like, make him stop drinking because I have the problem.
I didn't say you have to make him stop drinking.
He may
have to observe a safer home environment for you early in the game, especially. Later it might be all right.
What's his booze?
He likes whiskey.
Do you like whiskey?
No.
Good. That's it. There you go.
Well, if there's no other option in the house,
An alcoholic will drink mouthwash if he
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, if you're fat and you're trying to lose weight and all he ate was liver... You'd be fine. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's when they whip out something that you really like some brisket, that's when there's trouble.
It's just like the alcoholic mice we study, though. They learn to like certain drinks very readily, the ones that have the gene for alcoholism.
Oh, look. Yeah, if I was trapped on some island and a case of a douche and a nail polish remover rolled up, you believe me, that would be my drink. Even when I got off the island some years later, I'd be going to bars. Give me a bloody cuticle. That's nail polish remover and douche.
With the glitter or without?
No, not the glitter.
No glitter.
You hack that stuff up later at night. All right, man. I don't know. What did I tell
you? You got to go to meetings. You got to get sponsored. You got to work steps. And you, as you grow, you'll probably be able to ask your husband to keep the home safer for you and get him at least into a codependency program, some Al-Anon. Right. But I suspect as you gain in the program, you're going to need him to do something too.
Yeah, we got it there, Ray Anderson.
I'm going to stay out of trouble.
Yeah, it's my favorite new PSA. Speaking of boozing.
Hey, what are you doing after the game? Well, there's a big party at Jason's. His parents are out of town, and there's going to be plenty to drink.
Yeah.
I think I'll pass.
Uh-oh.
You going to pass up a party?
Well, it sounds more like trouble than a party.
Make the right choice.
No pussy call, huh?
This is the same guy that do the voice for the old man.
I know.
You're going to miss all the fun. I'm going to stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
A public service message.
I'm going to be a virgin until 45.
Broadcasters and this station.
First off, the part I really enjoy is no ridicule from the 17-year-old peer at the basketball game. Sounds like trouble to me. It's really... This is almost like a episode of Davy and Goliath. I don't know, Davy. We could get to church faster if we stole Dad's car. I don't know, Davy. Yeah, that's great.
Oh, I can hear
you. Two guys in their 40s trying to sound like they're 17. Getting shy. Long time
ago.
Do they really need a PSA to tell you to stop shooting kids, or... Is that kind of a no-brainer? But how's this public service announcement work? Like, you're cleaning your gun, getting ready to shoot some minors, and all of a sudden this comes on the radio, and you're like, wait a second.
That's a bad idea.
I didn't even know it was illegal until now.
It's sad.
I was just going to go off the neighbor kids. They got a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old over there, but you're saying you want to know where the kids went? You're right. I should rethink this whole shooting minors thing. Now, what's their problem? Is it the guns that are being fired up into the air, or is it the guns that are at the house, or?
I don't know.
Well, Anderson, what has caused all the minors? Where have all the children gone?
It's just a gun.
Well, they got shot, but yeah. How? Did the guys just find out and shot them?
No, they find the dad's gun and they shoot each other.
Well,
accidents.
That's just Darwinism there. That's fine.
I see. Oh, okay.
Okay. Shall we hop back to the phone?
Yes, let's keep going.
His parents are out of town and he's having a party. Oh, I don't know. There's going to be girls and booze there. Hey, count me out.
What would your reaction be right at that point?
I'm going to stay out of trouble.
That one,
yeah.
Right there. What would you say?
Hey, pusso, here's the option. You want me to drop your gym shorts in front of everyone, or should I just yank your underwear so far up your ass it never, ever comes out? Which is it going to be?
Wouldn't that start with, are you high?
Are you high? Hey, have fun spanking your putt. I'm going to go there and see if I can't get laid. And more booze for me.
How about this one?
Amazing
grace. What's this one?
New one. How sweet the sound. Ooh. Really?
10 kids die by gunfire every day.
Oh,
help
my
stop the violence. Call 1-800-WE-PREVENT.
That is not Anderson.
No, that was just a gunshot.
People were in here last week and they said, was that you? Did you just play that gunfire? And I said, no.
No, they shot the whole choir.
Oh, see?
All 10 of them.
Each year, hundreds of choir members are killed by gunshots. All right. Well, I got to say, I'm basically for the non-shooting of kids.
Of young people, yes.
Yeah.
That's good.
Let's save the babies!
There you go.
Doug, you're 25.
Yes, this is a question for Dr. Drew. Me and my girlfriend, we had sex this afternoon, and I kind of accidentally ejaculated in her. So, okay, all right, let's run to the hospital, and we'll get that morning after.
Yeah, good man.
Hear you talking about.
Good work.
And I just want to make sure that, you know, we got everything correct. She got this stuff called Overall.
Yeah, you can use Overall.
Okay, and
yeah.
She took it like 3 or 4 hours after the incident.
Great. That's excellent.
And she has to take another two within like 12 hours?
At 12 hours.
Okay, like how effective is it? Like will she
Really, some data suggests with that kind of speed to the product, to the pharmacology, it may be as high as 90%.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so it's really in that first 24 hours, it's 80% in that first 24 hours.
Well, if you have a kid, you just leave a gun out.
The reason...
And, you know, the kid will end up shooting himself.
How about just sending one in utero? You just leave a gun. So
send a gun up?
Yeah, why not?
Couldn't that hurt the mother if the gun discharged and, went through the kid and out into the mom's spinal column?
I think so, yeah.
So you're saying actually put the gun up the woman?
Yeah.
Right.
Send it on up. The reason that there's that 3-day window is the sperm hangs around waiting for an egg to be released. If she had ovulated within the last 24 hours prior to this intercourse you had, she's going to get pregnant. But the probability, obviously, of the next 3 days are higher than the last several hours. So
I should ask her if she's...
Well, she has no way of knowing.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right, you did the right thing. So that's it?
No, I have one other question about an AIDS test that I had.
Uh-huh.
It came back as they did the little, they put like this little cotton mouthpiece in my mouth.
Yes.
And it came back as false positive. And I was, I was a little too nervous to talk to the counselor about it. I was a little freaked out about it. But now that I got my head clear, I was just curious. If I definitely did have AIDS, would I have gotten this kind of result back? Or?
Well, false positive means exactly that, false positive. When they do the confirmatory testing, it's negative. I suppose you would want to be double-checked on that because, obviously, the implications of actually having it are so profound. You'd want to get a blood test.
Well, what is a false positive?
False positive means you test positive on one screen, and they do typically a Western blot test, which is a more accurate test that turns out negative.
Then they do another one.
Yeah, there's a several percentage points that are going to be false positives.
Yeah,
they're not that uncommon.
So why do they even tell you?
I wonder that myself, frankly. But I guess in the case you in the future are tested for the antibody, you come up positive, and you can tell.
All right, so it's like you came up. False positive means first test says you were positive,
but the more conclusive test
that we should have just taken first.
Right. The more expensive test that we do on all the positives to make sure they're real positive.
All right. Mark.
Hi.
You're 24.
How you doing?
What's up?
I've been listening to your show for the last couple of days. Just found out about it. It's pretty cool. I just wanted to call and see if you might be able to offer some advice.
Sure.
Over the last 3 years, I've been seeing my girlfriend on and off, and we're back together now. And a couple nights ago, she told me that she's kind of walking on eggshells just because of the last two breakups, and she doesn't know if anything's going to happen to make me do the same thing again.
Well, what were the other things that made you break up with her?
Religion and distance.
Whose religion? Yours or
hers? Well, actually, we're both the same religion. It's just a matter of levels of belief.
Jeez.
I can't stand it, and she's quite observant.
But you're both Mormons?
No, not at all. I know you're looking at Salt Lake. I'm not from here.
Wow, oh, I interesting. See.
No,
what are you?
Sorry?
What are you? What religion?
Does it matter?
Yeah.
It's just interesting.
Oh, well, we're both Jewish.
Oh,
and she...
I'll run you right out of that Salt Lake.
Tell me about it. That's why I just kind of don't bring it up.
And she's into it and you're not.
She's really into it. Yeah, she's been brought up like that. And I've been brought up in it and it's not for me.
Yeah, good.
And she's forcing you to come along?
No. It's just a matter of, you know, when you think long term, it just seems like it wouldn't work out.
Does she goes to temple on Saturday?
Yeah.
And you don't go, or?
I haven't been in like 5 years.
And she's all right with going without you, but then you're going to have a kid one day, and she's going to want to raise the kid that way, and it's going to be a pain in the ass. That's what you're saying?
At times it gets that far ahead, and I don't know.
I think you can work that kind of thing out. I mean, a lot of marriages these days, there's such diversity of religion and religious beliefs.
Yeah, but what happens when she starts dragging the kid around, and the kid's, you know, 8 years old, he's got a full beard and the face of payoff hanging down there, and he's wearing that black hat.
She's not that bad, right?
No. It's just... I want to know if there's anything you can suggest to alleviate her fears. Like, you know, let's just wait and don't walk on eggshells and just kind of...
What was the issue with distance?
Well, we live about a 6-hour drive from each other.
Both in Utah.
Why'd you get...
She's in Nevada.
Sorry, no, I'm actually... We're both Canadian.
What the hell...
What the hell am I doing down here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just working for the Olympics.
All right, so why... So you both live in Canada.
Yeah.
I see.
They let Jews into Canada now, huh?
Yeah, just the recent thing.
They just opened that up.
Not the French side. No.
Oh, I see.
That central Saskatchewan area.
It's just one more group to fight the French Canadians, that's all.
All right.
he thought I was serious.
Oh, I didn't hear you.
Mark's like, yeah, you're absolutely right.
All right, so listen, just tell her, I don't know. Tell her to relax.
So, advice. Well, now you're. Why are you so far apart?
Why'd you get back with her after you broke up with her twice?
Oh, she's great. It's just
okay. Yeah. Well,
all right, why are you so far apart?
Well, I mean, right now it's just temporary. I'm going home in a couple of weeks, but.
Now you said you live 6 hours apart.
Sorry?
You live 6 hours apart?
Yes.
You know, my fundamental advice to you is if you're really thinking long term about this, move closer.
Yeah.
Move closer. Really try this thing out for size.
Oh, that's what we're working on right now. We're trying to figure that out.
All right. Well, you know what? I think she's just working you. She's pissed. She's hurt from what you did in the past.
Yeah.
And she's going to have a little payback right now, which is now you're into it. Now you're going to pay.
Yeah, I'd say a Jewish woman's memory is even better than a goyim woman memory, which is
just on the objective scale.
A lot of things are like that.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, they'll make you pay after you're dead.
But I think every woman would have a little bit of that. And
it would be
like, all right, now you're ready to commit? Well, look, you made me pay, and now I'm not so sure. You made me hurt. Now I'm not so sure I can trust you.
Non-Jew female will remember anything bad you've done or said to her or about her for your lifetime. But a Jewish woman will probably hold you responsible for 15 to 20 years after you're in the ground.
Oh, it's a generational thing. What are you talking about?
Yeah, they will then pass it on, and so your grandkids can talk smack about you after you've been dead for 20 years. May you end up like your cousin Drew. His head should grow like an onion in the ground.
Your teeth should fall out and hair should grow in where your teeth were.
The Jews, they're so good verbally, you know. They can't just call anyone an a-hole. They say what you should do. What's another good one?
Verga Hargit.
Asshole.
Drop dead.
Matt?
Hey, what's up, man?
Matt is 20.
Yep, I'm 20 in Vancouver.
All right.
And for the last 5 or 6 months, I've been doing crystal meth.
Yeah.
And I've noticed, I don't know if it's from the actual drug or just from other things, but my testicles were hurt.
Both sides?
Yeah, both sides.
You having any trouble urinating?
No, not at all.
Any blood with your ejaculate or anything like that?
Nope. But my urine is very dark.
Very dark?
Really, really, really dark.
Well, it's blood in there.
Yeah,
maybe.
That could be blood. And it could be stones, could be a lot of things. So you need to get checked out. But there are definitely kidney diseases you can get from amphetamines.
How much meth are you doing?
Well, on the weekends, anywhere from, $60 to $90. Yeah.
Are you shooting it? Are you smoking it? What are you doing?
Smoking and sniffing.
How much is a gram of meth?
I don't know, but...
All right. Yeah. don't know.
Here's the deal, Matt.
Got a meth addict. He's smoking it. He's snorting it. How much?
Like $90, $100.
How much is a gram of meth? Don't know.
But listen.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Matt,
a quarter costs 20.
Nobody knows.
Matt, the deal is you could be causing yourself some real serious kidney disease. The testy aching could be just an irritation of the urogenital tract. Yes, they can also ache from dehydration, all the stimulants you're using, but this could be a potentially very, very serious issue.
Matt, you caught me on a bad night not to know about the gram, because we're talking to someone who was doing a lot of coke earlier, didn't know what a gram of coke caused. But really, don't know what a gram of speed cost, huh?
No, it's a half T is 50, and I don't know what a half T is. I don't know how much that weighs.
Well, that's probably half a gram.
Yeah, half a gram for 50.
So you have no idea that that's half a gram, even though you do a ton of speed.
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
He knows what he does.
I only do it on the weekends. I don't do it on the weekends.
Yeah, you do it enough, though. How does it? All right. All right, I'm done. Hey, Matt, stop that. What do you do? Stay up all weekend?
No, not necessarily, because I smoke weed. It causes a crazy feeling.
I know, but you do, let's say you do the speed. Let's say it's a weekend. It's a typical weekend. It's a Friday. You come home from work. It's 5 o'clock. What do you do?
I go get my stuff.
You go get your stuff, and you smoke it or snort it.
Sniff a little bit and smoke some more.
Right.
And then about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, I end up going to bed.
And then
the next morning when I wake up, I do it again.
You do. And can you sleep, though, or are you just kind of spinning around?
It's not really sleep. It's more like I'm in a trance.
Right. And then you get up the next day, and don't you kind of have a headache when you get up the next day?
Not really a headache. When I first started, I could really feel it the next day.
Right. All right, now you don't feel. So then you snort a little the next morning, and now you're going for that day, and you just go, keep snorting it throughout the day and go to bed at 4 again?
I really don't snort very much.
He smokes everything.
Yeah, I smoke.
Aren't you starting to get a little paranoid, you know, thinking that people are thinking about you and knowing you're doing it and your coworkers are talking about you or your neighbors?
Big time.
Yeah, that's going to get real bad.
You're insane.
To the point where you're going to start believing people are trying to kill you. You may try to hurt them. It can be a huge, huge mess.
Yeah, I think that like my friends are staring at me sometimes.
Right. This is the biology of this drug. It causes this kind of paranoia.
Yeah, it's just a crazy drug.
But it can get really bad. I had some patients that one guy believed his grandmother. You'll start freaking out about your family believing they're doing stuff to you too. One guy believed his grandmother had lifted his floorboards of his house up 1 foot and built a factory under the house to create small men to come up and torment him. He eventually got a gun and started shooting at these small men.
Well, that did turn out to be true, though, didn't it?
No, didn't even.
Oh, so he was just shooting through the floorboards.
He was just shooting all, and then he went out the street and started shooting around.
Oh, great.
Almost caught him.
All right, so, Matt, the speed, that's enough. And please, please, people, if you're going to do drugs, figure out how much it goddamn costs.
Yeah, ANSP will cause permanent memory problems and permanent mood disorder.
All right. Good times.
And these kinds of doses, for
sure. Good times. Good times. Bill.
Yeah.
You're 42.
Hey, how are you?
Good. You, somebody called in earlier from Oregon, said they had that dank smell in their basement.
Right.
And, said they were going to hang some, sheetrock there. And wanted to know how to do away with that dank smell. And I got to keep myself entertained on this show once in a while. So I told him to put some kind of vapor barrier up and then put some sleepers on the wall and then hang the rock onto those sleepers. But do you have another way to do this?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. My father-in-law has had a house in Northern California here since 1962. He's been dealing with this water and stink problem in his basement from day one.
Mm-hmm.
At 74 years of age, this man finally decided to resolve the issue. He dug the backfill away from the concrete wall all the way around.
See, that's what Drew said.
That's what I've heard.
And he did
at 74 years old, this man dug
himself.
All he did is
At 74, he hired 10 Mexicans.
Yeah, I got a tractor.
Yeah, no. That's his usual routine, but last time they ripped him off, so this time he did it by himself.
They always stab you, those Mexicans. I always say that. I always say you can't. You got to watch them. You got to watch your Mexicans.
But basically, he went to Home Depot.
Yeah.
And they sell a tar-based 4-foot-wide sheeting that you...
Yeah.
Put on the wall with some adhesive, then you...
On the outside?
Yeah, put it on the outside.
Then you put that 1-inch solid foam against it, you backfill it, and you never have another drop of water.
Oh! Oh, my God! Somebody hold the phones! I can't believe that!
Well, thanks, Bill. Yeah, that is the way to do it. I was just trying to... and that was Drew's suggestion an hour and a half ago. But I was trying to avoid the sort of unrealistic nature of this chick... digging out the side of her house
all
down
around
8 or 9 feet. And then, furthermore, it never takes care of the floor, really, but I guess you don't get quite as much moisture coming up from the floor.
Right, it's all in from the
but,
wall.
But furthermore, your basement isn't always the exact outside perimeter of your house. There are walls you may not be able to get to. I got a basement at my house. You can't get to any of the walls. Actually, you get to one. All right. Should we take a little break here, Drew?
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll speak to Matt, who's 23. He's been with his girlfriend for 2 years. No sex. Is it his fault or hers? After this. Hey, hey, hey. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. All righty there, Ducky boy.
Here we go.
Let's get back.
We've got a big week coming up here. These PSAs actually make me nauseous.
Time passing.
I spent like hours putting them together.
I
appreciate the effort, but they still, I'm gonna puke.
Better than the old ones.
I object to the 40-year-old actors trying to play the 17-year-old.
Well,
high school
now let's
kids.
Be fair. It's better in the sense that the other ones were getting a little old. We heard them for like 3 years, right?
I do miss that airplane turbulence one though.
Oh, we left that one in.
Yeah. Well, your body was made for many things.
All right, so Kathy Griffin towards the end of the week.
Ah, yeah, that's my girl.
Gorillas, Wednesday.
Yeah, that's my boys.
Something corporate.
Those are, who are they?
I don't know.
Okay. It's a band. It's a hot band. Those are my boys. Those are my boys. Are you ready to go here, Drew?
Yeah.
Let's talk to Matt, who's 23. Matt?
Go, Matt.
Here we go, buddy.
Matt?
Matt.
Yes.
What's happening? Listen, real quick, you guys provide a service, and I really appreciate it. Here's my question. I got a girl I've been with for about 2 years, and she's a great chick. Problem is that our sexual appetites differ. I mean, they're like polar opposites.
Mm-hmm.
She fears that it's the pill, but I don't know much about that, so I figured you'd be the ones to call.
Well, first tell us what the problem is.
Just Jack Nicholson?
Basically, you know, it's just that I want it, she doesn't.
Period.
Period.
Ever.
Well, I mean, not all the time, but a good majority of it.
Man, where are you from? Pittsburgh?
Yeah, something like that, back east.
Where?
Jersey.
Hey, what do you think there, Drew?
How often are you actually having sex with your girlfriend?
Not as much as I would like.
Matt, maybe. Be careful. Don't answer questions like that. Adam will hang up on you. How often are you
four times a week.
That's a lot.
Solid.
That's a lot.
That's a lot?
Yeah.
The average is about 1.5 times a week for a steady relationship.
Well, see, the thing is that in our relationship, things are going really well. And this is one of the staples that I feel should be in a relationship.
Yeah, but,
you're doing it 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
You think it's not? Okay, shut up. Oh, so I feel sorry for Matt, but here's how Matt. Let's do a little offline recreation. Okay. I'm never having sex with my girlfriend. She never wants sex.
How often are you having sex?
3 to 4 times a week.
That's a lot. That's more than average. Average is 1.5.
Yeah. But what you don't understand is I feel this is an important part of a relationship.
The staple.
It's a staple of any good relationship.
Let's just consider that word for a second. Staple would be like bread, bacon, eggs. How many times a week do you have eggs?
How many times do I F eggs?
You have staple like eggs or bread.
Oh.
Still 3-4 times a week, and it's a staple.
Well, look, here's all I'm saying, young Matt. When we say to you, geez, 3-4 times a week, that's better than your average couple does, you cannot answer us back by saying, I think it's an important part of a relationship. You're not answering our question. We just said you're having it more than most people do.
Who, of course, consider it also an important part of their relationship.
Right.
Right.
And I understand that 100%, but you should see this girl. I mean, she has it going on. She's a gorgeous girl.
Yeah, Matt, she's a human being who has her own sexual drive, and you've got to take that in consideration, and you have to reach some kind of compromise.
Yeah.
Some of the week you may need to take care of yourself.
Listen, Matt, please. What planet did you come from? 3 or 4 times a week is fine. You cannot fault her for that sexual cadence.
Yeah.
Okay?
If she's able to keep up with that. And the pill, his question was about the pill. The progesterone-containing pills, the ones in my experience, are the ones that tend to cut the sex drive out a little bit. So the shot and the lower-dose pills tend to. The triphasic pills, some women respond with increased sex drive. There, too, someone also will also respond with decreased sex drive. So it depends on the pill and the person.
Yeah, right.
But it certainly can. But if she's keeping up with 3 or 4 times a week, I mean, how much of an effect could she be having with the pill? She's doing pretty good.
Shutting her down. She's only good for 15 times a month. Hey, Adam.
Hey. How you doing?
Good.
Well, you guys, everybody's not giving your answers for your drug prices, so I'll give them to you.
All righty.
Okay, what do you want to know on?
Well, first was, and I basically have the... I have the basic price of Coke and Speed a gram, but I'm just perplexed by the fact that we have junkies calling the show that have no idea what the prices are.
Wait, you say it's $100?
Well, I'm actually.
You said it's a cost a gram.
And
oh, cost a gram?
That's what you said.
Oh, how did I say that?
You said I'm basically up on what a cost of Speed of cocaine basically cost a gram.
Oh, I mean the cost of a gram.
Okay.
I didn't put the A in there. sorry there, Dr. Idiot. So what is a gram of Coke these days?
A gram of Coke runs between 60 and 80.
60 and 80?
Yep.
I heard it went down.
That is down. Well, it depends on how you're buying it, if you're buying it in quantity.
Well, I buy in bulk. I buy like a 55-gallon drum.
Well, you know, you figure you got your eight balls, you got your quarter ounces, you got your nine packs, which
right.
is quarter key.
How much is eight balls at 8 grams?
Eight balls is 3.5 grams.
Oh, yeah, it is 3.5 grams.
And
why did we know that, Drew?
You must have used one.
No. Well, they had been bought before, but you told me it was 3.5 grams at
no,
some point.
No, I think we had this conversation before with someone. Because I actually wasn't clear. I thought it was 3 grams.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's 8 balls, like an eighth of a kilo or...
Eighth of an ounce.
Eighth of an ounce. All right. All right. Well, anyway. So, anyways, between 60 and 80. But you're calling from Silicon Valley, right?
No, well, actually, I'm from the Valley originally. I'm coming back from L.A. right now.
Okay. So this is L.A. prices.
Yes.
Okay, 1680, and what about speed? What's that going to run me?
Speed's going to run you anywhere between 70 and 100, depending on whether it's glass,
right.
all glass, or just plain, or if it's red.
Speed more than Coke nowadays,
yeah, yeah.
huh?
Yes, the trend is reversed.
Glass is smokable, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And how's the Coke these days?
Wouldn't know. I haven't tried it for about 5 years now.
Well, but what do they say?
Well, basically, it's pretty much all recon.
What's the word on the street?
What's recon mean?
Recon means it's been basically...
Stepped on?
It's basically been stepped on and repressed back into a kilo.
Huh. What's stepped on mean?
don't play stupid,
cut.
Drew.
It's been cut with an oxetol.
Okay.
Right.
Maybe laxative.
All right. Boy, that real good Coke, boy, I tell you, that's something else, boy.
Well, that's the old stuff, the Reina.
Well,
what do you think about the idea that this traffic is supporting terrorist organizations?
I don't think it is at all.
How come?
Terrorist organizations, I just don't think the drug traffic is supporting it. I mean...
Who's buying the drugs that they produce?
I mean, who's selling the drugs?
Well, who's buying it? The ones from Colombia and Afghanistan, if we're not.
Well, the U.S. is buying it.
Right, so isn't this trafficking in that stuff?
Well, in a sense it is, yeah, I guess
okay.
you are correct.
All right,
good times, so thanks, Aaron. But we don't know. Like, a higher percentage is probably going to, like, alligator shoes in really, really bad suits.
What drugs come from Afghanistan?
Heroin.
Yeah, they do
heroin.
It's
the leading heroin production in the world.
You know, why don't they legalize it, then, if they don't want us to be supporting the terrorists?
Oh, I don't disagree with that. But,
yeah. Oh, no. Listen, every Republican will complain till they're blue in the face about the very tenuous
stream. You know who I bet would go to
that, this and that?
I bet Bill O'Reilly would come down in favor of that kind of thing.
It'd be nice.
He's a radical rationalist, you know?
Yes.
And it's irrational. He'd support it.
Yeah, I agree. And let's talk to Linda. Linda?
Yeah.
You're 38?
Yes.
What's up?
I'm just curious. I'm diabetic, and I'm wondering if I'm giving my husband a blowjob and I swallow, will it raise my blood sugar?
Have you noticed it do that?
Well, today my blood sugar went up, and I don't know if that's the cause or not.
Ooh. I would say not. There's very, very few calories in that.
What's insulin run a gram, they say? Looking to score some of that.
$38 for 30 for a month's worth.
Really?
Yeah.
Reasonable. Okay. Do you have to swallow with the husband? You can't.
No, but I prefer. Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
You would prefer to spitting it out in a potted plant.
Oh yeah.
Why is that?
How about a spittoon?
It's better than ice cream.
A spittoon.
It's better than ice cream.
Yep.
I'll leave it be.
No.
The husband can come kill you.
All right. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Jizz guzzling?
Oh, true. Wow. Please. We're on the air. All right there, Linda.
Okay.
Hey, if you went that way, that would be quite a story.
If I went that way?
I'd like to give the eulogy.
How are your sugars doing? They're all right?
Okay.
What, are your sugars okay generally?
Yeah, generally fine.
What are you taking now?
Glucophase, Starlix, Actos, and insulin.
You got the trifecta going there. All right. So that's good. Actos is good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, good times. She died doing what she loved most, blowing her husband. Always
performing the duties of a committed wife.
Always like that when they tell you he died doing what he loved
best.
Well, I don't know. Isn't that sort of worse in a way? I mean, it's like he loved hang gliding. Yeah, they don't say that about junkies, actually. But if a guy's really into, like, skydiving or hang gliding or mountain climbing or firefighting or police work or something, some sort of thrill-seeking sport. It'd be like, they always do that. Well, if you can take any solace in this whole tragedy, it's knowing that he died doing what he loved. I always think, I bet he didn't love it that much right before he hit the ground. You know what I mean? As the chute wasn't opening.
Well, it sort of ruins what he loves best, doesn't it?
And like I said, for the guys who OD on heroin, I think you could make a pretty compelling argument for them dying doing what they love.
Oh, probably more than anybody.
Love that more than guys that are in a hang glider.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's the way he would have wanted to go. Really, just 22 years old and the chute not opening, really? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Put it this way, if there was another opportunity to get back into hang gliding, let's say, through some miraculous act of God, do you think they'd be doing what they love again?
Interesting. Probably. I just know how people are.
That's the other one. I like the guys who get attacked by great white shark when they're, like, out surfing. They always film them at the ocean. They're right back in there. And here's the other part. I don't blame the animal, they always tell you.
He just got confused.
He thought I was a seal. All right, but...
How about the next one?
What do you think he did? Told his buddies that you weren't a seal? Or do you think he may just hit on you again? Now, I'm not mad at the shark. I see. So you're not mad at the shark? No. As if, you know what it is? It's like a weird superstition. Like, if they talk any smack about the shark, maybe it'll get back to the shark. You know what it is. People talk. An eel tells a manta ray, who tells a grouper. Next thing you know, the shark gets back to the shark. Now the shark goes and bites him again. Jeremiah?
Yes.
You're 25. All I know is I want to talk to one guy who was bitten by a shark surfing and swears he'll never go into the water again, not even the bathtub. And hates the shark that bit him and takes it very personally. Go ahead, Jeremiah.
I've never surfed before, so.
Okay. Next call.
My question is, I went out on this date with this one girl and we got really physical, but later, after the evening was over, she told me that she had another boyfriend, and that the next day she said that she guessed she was going to have to go back with her boyfriend. And she has a lot of, well, she's a pastor's daughter, and she's got some other issues like that. And I guess my question is this the kind of girl I should pursue, or should I just write her off?
Well, she has a boyfriend. She's sort of telling you that it's not something you can pursue, right?
Yeah.
At least you died doing what you loved. You know? I mean, feeling chicks up.
Yeah.
You know? All right, she said she had somebody else there, Jeremiah, so...
That's that. If you really liked her, really interested, you can certainly put it on the table and tell her that. And she can make up her mind. But she sounds like the kind of person who's into chaos. She sounds like someone who has a little interest in a little payback to her boyfriend. So, by the way, he's going to find out about this soon. So don't get too involved with this one.
Right. He may be showing up.
Yeah.
What I like? I knew it was time to quit when I wasn't having fun anymore. You ever talk about this?
No.
Ball players?
Yeah.
You know, as I entered my 19th season, after a while, about halfway into the season, I wasn't having fun out there.
Yeah.
And I always said, if I wasn't having fun, that's when it's time to quit. Really, $22 million a year is not enough incentive. You weren't having a good time? People do that, and everyone nods their head. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. If you're not having a good time, what about everyone else at their job? Having a good time?
I think the right...
What percentage
response
of the country is having a good time
at
work?
The right response is, what are you
high?
About? What's the real reason?
What are you
stopped?
Talking about? Yeah, you blew out a disc or something. Or you're slumping and you're no good.
Yeah, your coach kicked you out.
But I always promised myself, you know, when I started, you know, driving Indy cars for a living, I promised myself when I stopped having fun, that's when it was time to get out. And I'm not having fun because I suck. And it's no fun to suck. I just like that that's a very common excuse and everyone just nods their head and buys into it. Well, it's not having fun. Listen, you're playing baseball. It's fun enough. You could enjoy yourself. Even if you're having a mediocre time and making $20 million a year, wouldn't you say that's enough to hang
in?
I
think that's enough, yeah.
How many attorneys are actually having fun in their 75-hour week? You know what I mean? Where they're just raping people from the, separating them from their money and doing that stuff. Fun?
No.
That's not fun. My whole thing with the lightning round was, I promised myself the day you stop having fun is the day you quit that lightning round. You know what? Not fun anymore. Howdy. Love line.
Howdy.
All right. Let's, howdy. Let's get back to the phones and see if we can power through a few calls. We'll take calls until we're not having any more fun, and then we'll quit.
Well, I'm not sure if I'm having fun, right? Yeah, okay, I'm having fun.
If you're not having fun, that's when it's time to get out.
All right.
All of you, in every job that you have, whether you're stocking shelves at a market or working at graveyard security, hey, when you're not having fun, that's when it's time to get out.
Anna, 20.
I have been thinking about doing mushrooms and kind of debating whether or not I should. And I asked a friend of mine what she thought, and her brother has schizophrenia, and I have a history of schizophrenia in my family.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle has schizophrenia, and my aunt and my great aunt and my great grandmother.
Okay.
And she told me that there have been studies, and there's a possibility that doing hallucinogens can cause you to.
Okay, listen. Do you have like some sort of crawl on the TV screen that needs to be sped up or something? Should we speed up the teleprompter a little bit? We can find that. Come on, baby. Let's go now. Here we go.
Okay.
Research shows, let me spill it out for you, that hallucinogens have been associated with schizophrenic syndromes. Okay?
Okay.
Whether or not there's absolutely no doubt that hallucinogens, the stronger ones anyway, I've not seen this from mushrooms, but the things such as LSD can cause something that looks like schizophrenia from heavy use, whether or not it's actually bringing something out that was already sort of predisposed, or whether it's a straight causation, we don't know for sure. But it's not a great idea if you're at risk for obvious reasons.
Right.
All right.
All right. So why monkey?
Well, I just wanted to know if that was true, because
yes, it's true.
I didn't know whether or not she...
Absolutely true. And, okay. And common, too, right? Very common.
All right, baby. Don't monkey now.
Okay.
You got a good brain. Yeah.
This is where that wives' tale comes from. If you do LSD X number of times, you are clinically insane. It's the fact that it does cause it. And usually people use them pretty heavily, these syndromes.
Yeah. And let's face it, never underestimate the lightweight. Some people just get more jacked up from less. It's like car accidents, you know? Some people get rear-ended at 4 miles an hour and they have to get surgery on their neck. And other people roll their car numerous times and walk away. Why? I don't know. I think some people are slightly more predisposed to injury. I think it's the same with drugs in your brain. Some people can do a bunch of stuff and be fine, and other people can get pretty screwed up from almost nothing.
Fast, yep.
But here's our point. Don't get in the accident. You really want to find out?
Right.
You may be one of those people who has to be in traction because a shopping cart hit your bumper while you're sitting in the parking lot. Eric?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry there, Drew. And by the way, those people should not get paid.
Those people, because they're flawed.
Yes. Those people, there's no damage to the car, and they say, it's 200 grand in medical bills and pain and suffering. Listen, you're a lemon. Can't pay for that. There has to be a normal standard. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, not a great precedent when there's other kinds of lemon.
No, but listen. If I walk into a supermarket and someone just got done waxing the floor and they didn't put a cone up that said, be careful, yeah, shut up, and I slip and crack my collarbone, okay, then someone can sue. But if I just have trouble with equilibrium, like I'm not very good, and I walk in, and the floor's not waxed, but because I have difficulty, I fall over on my own, no lawsuit. That's my problem. And if some guy rear-ends you and it does no damage to your car and it wouldn't have done any damage to anybody else, but you, it jacked up, screw you. You're a lemon. You get nothing. That's part of being a lemon. It's not cashing in on being a lemon. That's why they call it a flaw. Fine with that. Don't we have to have a sort of normal standard that we judge things by, or just anyone who says they're screwed up gets paid? Thank you, Drew. Sarah?
Hi.
You're 26?
Yeah.
I love yelling at Drew, but the day I stop having fun yelling at Drew, that's the day I'm out.
This is so funny.
All right there, babe. What's up?
I was just wondering why it's so hard for me to meet people.
Hmm.
You're fat.
Yeah.
How big are you?
Drew, please. I'm not big. I'm really small. I weigh like 115 and I'm like 4'11".
Where do you work?
I work at Ralph's.
That could be part of the problem. Do you have any...
What do you mean?
I mean, that's not an easy place to meet people, I wouldn't think.
I guess.
What do you do there?
I work in the service building.
Yeah. Oh, you know, people buying the little prefab sushi and all that stuff.
We cut their meats and cheeses and stuff like that.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too bad. Is that a union gig?
Yeah.
Yes, you do all right. What do you get an hour?
Right now it's $7.70. That's just because I didn't have any experience when I, you know, went in.
All right, well, pretty soon you'll be able to rape the union, don't you worry. All right, so you have any kids?
Yeah, I do.
That makes it harder.
Hey, you have friends?
To me, it shouldn't be because, you know, true enough, I have a daughter, but...
Hey, it simply is because you have got to divide your attention between your own social life and your child's upbringing. That by itself makes it difficult. But stay focused on your kid. That is now your life.
Okay, but she wants to have a social life.
It's fine. Yeah.
Use your friends.
Yeah, use your friends. But listen, your priority is the kid. That's it. You relinquished a certain amount of your life when you had the child.
I remember the day you stop having fun as a parent is the day you quit. That's what
a lot of people quitting
my folks did. I will be back. Another fabulous Love Line episode, deep in the ground.
And a big week underway.
Well, I had fun the first 2 hours, Drew, but now I realize I don't have any fun anymore.
Better quit right now.
So I'm looking to go home. I'm tired.
Fair enough.
All right, so it's not fun, so let's split.
All right, let's go.
All right, so until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. Made possible by a grant from the Carnegie Corporation.
Oh, my God.
Yes, lovey.
This has been Love Line. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.